بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. We continue with our series of khutab on Islam means submission. This is the last of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us and include us in the list of his slaves with whom he is pleased, and to keep us with istiqamat in that list so that we never lose that position of being those with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. My brothers and sisters, 1453 years ago, a window opened in the heavens and God spoke to man. In Makkah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first words of revelation of the Quran, which continued for the next 23 years. The essence of this was to re-establish a way of life based on three cardinal principles: truth, virtue, and compassion. This is called Islam. The principles of this religion are based not on human wisdom, but on divine will, and are designed to create a system of life which is full of goodness for all those who choose to live by it. The author of those words and this way of life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is our creator. And what did he say? He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaytan إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. He said, which means, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and totally and fully, and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Verily and truly, he is your open enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who said this. And then he said about those who understood this and obeyed him in this. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim alayhi salam, his Rabb said to him, Aslim. His Rabb said to him, submit. He said, I have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who taught us the dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Allah, don't hold us accountable for mistakes and for what we forgive, for what we forget. I remind myself and you that the difference between a mistake and a crime is the issue of doing it deliberately. Doing it knowingly, knowing that something is wrong but still doing it. If I am walking and accidentally my foot touches my father who is sitting there, or my foot touches my teacher who is sitting there, this is a mistake. I apologize, he will forgive me. Even if I forget to apologize, maybe I am running from a fire, Allah knows what, and I did not apologize, still my father or my teacher will say, well, you know, he was in a hurry. Something, by mistake, something happened. But if I do the exact same action, which is touch my father or my teacher with my foot, which is called kick. I'm not talking about a kick like penalty kick in football, that he has to bounce off the wall. I'm talking about touching him with my foot. What do you call it? What do you call touching somebody with your foot? Kick. If I do that deliberately, then is it the same action? Action is the same. What has changed? That I did it deliberately. I know this is wrong. I still do it. Allah taught us which dua? رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَانَا. What we forgive, what we forget, and what we do by mistake. Khata. I remind myself and you to stop playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand that when we choose deliberately, knowingly to do something which is wrong, then we have, within quotes, elevated ourselves into a different criterion from that of people who make mistakes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Khairul Khatta'un At-Tawabun. He said, the best of those who make mistakes. He didn't say the best of the criminals. He said, the best of those who make mistakes are those who seek forgiveness. Having said that, even if we have committed a crime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door of tawbah open. And He did not say that if you commit a crime, if you know something is wrong, you deliberately did that. Yes, you committed haram. Yes, you committed kufr, depending on what you did. And you would have been destined for punishment. Even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door of tawbah open and said, even if you did that a million times, if you make tawbah sincerely and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask istighfar, you ask forgiveness of Allah, Allah will forgive you. But if we do not do this, if we continue to do something which Allah has prohibited and we continue to do that knowing it is prohibited, which means that we are continuing to commit a crime deliberately and we continue this all our lives and we die without making tawbah, I will leave you to imagine the result. I am not going to say what it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu asked this question. كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how can you disbelieve in Allah? كيف تكفرون بالله. كيف تكفرون بالله. Our tragedy is that we read the Quran without understanding. I was praying behind an imam in Tarawih and it was like he got stuck on this ayah. Kaifa takfuruna billah? Kaifa takfuruna billah? Kaifa takfuruna billah? He says, how can you deny Allah? How can you deny Allah? How can you deny Allah? We just read it like a sentence. No effect. Kaifa takfuruna billah? Allah is asking this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, His kalam is live. Allah is huwal hayyul qayyum. Allah is alive. He is asking a question to you and me. Kayfa takfuruna billah? How can you deny Allah? Wa kuntum amwatan. When you were dead, fa ahyakum, He gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, and one day He will take it back. He will give you death. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, and He will raise you up again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and you will return to Him. This Allah, how can you deny Him? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ. What is the answer, my brothers and sisters? The answer to a question is not to ask the question again and again and again. The answer to the question is to answer the question. Allah said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. It's a question. How many ni'mat and how many blessings of your Rabb will you deny? We have to answer the question. What is the answer? We have to answer the question. Don't answer in Arabic, answer in whichever language you speak, but you have to answer this question. Allah is asking, I have given you ni'mat. How many of them will you deny? There's a friend of mine, very old friend, for the last almost 50 years. In Germany, he's a German guy, Christian. Make dua for him. May Allah give him hidayat. 40 years, until he retired, he said, I did not even sneeze. Allah gave me perfect health. He is now 65. He runs 10 miles a day. Literally, the 1 week into his retirement, he felt some growth under his tongue. And they found stage 4 cancer. Now he's undergone radiation and so on. I don't know, some 60 episodes of radiation and so forth. And the doctor said, you know, you are so strong physically that this has not really destroyed you, otherwise the radiation itself would have killed you. Because that it's in the face, so it's very close to the brain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him, to cure him completely, give him perfect health and to make this a means of his guidance to Islam, inshallah. We're a wonderful, wonderful human being. The point I want to make for you is, alhamdulillah, Allah has kept you safe. Allah did not give you what he gave him. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. How many of the ni'mat of Allah will you deny? Allah gave you money. Allah gave you position. Allah gave you health. To do what? To spend in his obedience or to spend in his disobedience and then make ta'wilat and all kinds of justifications for that? Which one? My brothers and sisters, I am not a fool. I am many things, but I am not an idiot. I am not a fool. I know that what I say here makes me very unpopular with a lot of you. I say it because I love you. And if you don't have the sense to understand that, it doesn't change the fact that I love you. I love a lot of stupid and dumb people. And I will say this until I drop. Don't fool with Allah. Don't play games with Allah. Don't make excuses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know how to be popular. I can stop saying all of this and I will become very popular with all of you. Except I will not be popular with Allah. As I told you, I'm not a fool. I know where my priorities lie. Please understand. Allah is saying we were dead. And before we were born, we were dead. We did not exist even in memory. We had no identity. We were nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life and existence and identity. Ask yourself a very simple question. What do you say if somebody has, may Allah give you good children in good health always, inshallah. But supposing a child is born, stillborn. What do you say? Who died? If a child is born and maybe the second or third day the child has not yet been named, the aqiqah has not yet been done, second, third, fourth day the child dies. Who do you say died? It was a fully formed human being, healthy child, for whatever reason died on the second or third or fourth day. Who do you say died? You will say so and so's child died. That child does not even have an identity, does not even have a name. Allah is saying this is what you were. Yes or no? Just because you are standing here today and you have these names and you have these titles and so on and so forth, you think you are bigger than Allah. Allah said, you were nothing. هَلَ تَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذُكُورًا. Allah said, has the human being forgotten that there was a time when he was nothing? He was not even remembered? Let me ask you a very simple question. I am talking about now the issue of birth. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know the name of your great-grandmother? Your nani or dadi's mother? How many of you know the name of your grandmother, your nani or dadi, the name? Can I see a show of hands? How many of you know the name? Not dadi-jan, nani-jan, your name. Vast majority, you don't even know that. At least go and ask now. Who am I talking about? One generation. Their genes you came out of their genes. Their blood is in your veins. You do not even know their name. That is your reality. A day will come when your own children will not remember your name. Your grandchildren will not know. They will ask you, how many of you can list your genealogy? I deliberately asked women because women tend to be discounted for everything. They are the ones who take all the trouble. They are the ones who bear the pain and so on and so forth. And then they forget the pain. Otherwise, there is no way that a woman will have a second child. But even the fathers, how many generations can you name? Tell me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many? Most people cannot even name 3 generations. That is what will happen to you. That is what will happen to me. We were nothing and we will become nothing. And to please this lot, who are even going to forget your name, you want to anger the one who will always remember you? What is the answer? So let us ask ourselves whether our lifestyle and choices are worth the price that we are paying for them. Believe me, we are paying the price. Make no mistake. It is like online shopping. It's starting up even though you didn't need to reach for your wallet even once. Our digital wallet is signed in and it's being debited with every choice. And one day, we will be presented with the bill and we will have to pay. There is no escape from that payment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly stated and ordered, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijusum min amali shaytani fajtanibuh, la'allakum tuflihun. O you who believe, alcohol and all forms and kinds of intoxicants and addictives, all forms of gambling, al-ansab and azlam, all forms of fortune-telling and vastu and arthashastra and astrology and whatever, feng shui, these are the filth of shaitan, an abomination of shaitan. Stay far away from them. Fajtanibu. Stay far away from them in order that you may succeed. We know perfectly well that in Islam, when something is prohibited, fi nafsihi, by itself, then everything connected with it is also prohibited. Allah clearly prohibited alcohol and all kinds of addictive substances and gambling. This prohibition is for our benefit and the benefit of our society, not for the benefit of Allah. Yet we insist on being associated with establishments set up to facilitate these activities. Yet we insist on ignoring the prohibition of Allah, even though we believe that one day we will meet Allah. Ask yourself what benefit you are getting from this senseless insistence on doing what Allah prohibited and hates and warned us about. Ask yourself what you intend to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks you this very same question. We were dead and misguided until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to His obedience. Yet do we want to show our gratitude by disobeying Him? How miserable is that? And for what? For the few years that we have in this life? For the few claps and cheers that we will get from the losers who are as blind as we are in exchange for the anger of Allah? If the answer is no, then what is the plan going forward from today? Last Jummah I told you, don't go to sleep without resigning from those clubs. I hope you have done that. Allah is witness, I told you. I'm saying to you again, if you did not do it last Jummah, Allah gave you 7 days grace period by keeping you alive. Don't go to sleep tonight without resigning your membership from clubs which have alcohol and which have gambling and which have Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and whatever Eve parties. Do not sleep tonight without resigning from those clubs. Allah is witness. I have told you. Have I told you? Can I hear you, please? I will not list the long litany of disobedience that we insist on in our fashion. You know, the floor mop haircuts. Niche bamboo lagaye to bhansa bana ke jale nikal sakte. Are what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited? You will have that haircut and you are very keen to call the adhan. Sharam nahi aati. Ashhadu anna Muhammad aur Rasulullah bol rahe haircut waisa hai. Seriously, ask yourself this question. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our fashion, our weddings, our death ceremonies. Let me not even start on that. Our customs and lifestyles. You know what you do better than I. And alhamdulillah for that. Please do not enlighten me. I don't want to know. So I won't waste your time by telling you what you already know. I request you to please reflect and ask. When we know what is halal and what is haram, and we also know that to deliberately do haram is kufr and invites the anger of Allah, then why do we insist on doing that? Ask yourself this question. When we insist on following our desires instead of Allah's orders, who are we giving primacy to? Therefore, to use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's definition, who are we worshipping? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Allah said, have you not seen them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have made their God their desires? Surah Al-Furqan, I mentioned this ayat in the last Jummah as well. Go look it up. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu said, it was difficult for us to memorize the words of the Quran, but easy for us to act by them. This is the sifat of the Sahaba. The minute they knew something, they would practice it. So Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu says, it was difficult for us to memorize the words of the Quran, but easy for us to act by them. After us will come people for whom it will be easy to memorize the words of the Quran, but difficult to act by them. And this is in Tafsir Qurtubi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make you and me part of that prophecy. Samura bin Jundab radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah said in his narration of a dream, he said, he whose head was being crushed with a stone was the one who learnt the Quran but never acted on it. And he slept ignoring the compulsory prayers, sleeping through Salatul Fajr almost like a daily business. And this is Sahih Bukhari. My question, how many of us pray Fajr in the masjid even when we have gravity-aided locomotion to get to it? Like here, you have to just leave yourself and you will come into the masjid. And what do we tell ourselves about that? I was tired, I was exhausted, I was this. You were tired and exhausted doing what? Making tawaf of the Kaaba? My brothers and sisters, so who's right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or we? Same question to be asked about every one of the many customs and practices we insist on doing. We object and we get angry and irritated when someone reminds us about the evil of what we do. But this getting angry is the essence of arrogance. To appoint yourself in the place of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make and change laws and consider that to be your right, forgetting that one day we will answer to Allah. My brothers and sisters, please understand that we are not doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a favor by accepting Islam. Allah did a favor by guiding us and showing us the path to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah said in Surah Al-Hujurat, they regard as a favor on you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they have embraced Islam. Allah said this. Allah said that these people, they think they are doing a favor to Allah and His Messenger by accepting Islam. He said, say to them, do not count your Islam as a favor on me. No, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that He guided you to the faith if you are true. The difference between Islam and kufr, Islam and shirk is what? The difference between Jannah and Jahannam. So who did a favor to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the fate of those who continue to disobey Him in this life and also mislead others. I say resign from the club and you have got advisors who will tell you, are chup bekar baatein karte ho na waisi ch. Ye ho raha nahi ho raha. Mere kehne hai muakkil sunte rehte tumhare baatein puri aake sunate mere ko. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this.
about the ones who insist on disobeying him and the ones who advise them and the ones who prevent. Somebody else is doing something good. You can't even keep your mouth shut. You have to advise him not to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. In Surah Al-Mulk, which we are supposed to receive part of our adhkar for the night, every night before sleeping, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Sajda. Allah said, he's talking about the hellfire. Allah said it almost bursts with the fury. Every time a group is cast into it, and before throwing this group into the fire, the keeper of the fire will ask, did nobody come to you? Did nobody warn you about this? And they will say, Bala qad ja'ana nazir. Of course, indeed a warner came to us. Fakazzabna. But we said, arre chodo yaar, aisi baat karte. We denied him. We said, arre, he talks nonsense. Ignore him. Fakazzabna. We denied and belied him. And we said, Allah never sent this down on you. Somebody tells me, no, khali sharab peeke nasha aya to guna hai. मालूम होता जूते पड़े तो खबर के अंदर क्या होता क्या नहीं होता. A lot of my non-Urdu speaking friends tell me I should not speak in my language. I must always translate into English. I mean, ये खबर में जूते पड़ना कैसा मजा नहीं आता बोलो अंग्रेजी में बोलो. May Allah have mercy on us. They will ask, did no one come? They say, no, they came. Somebody came to warn us and we belied them. We denied them. We said, you are talking nonsense. Allah never said anything like this. Nothing has come to you. No revelation. You are the one who's mistaken. And then they will say, وَقَالُوا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. If we had listened and if we had any brains, who's saying this? That cool friend of yours who thinks today he has a lot of brain and you also think he has a lot of brain. That cool friend of yours who's taking you towards the hot place. That person will say, if I had any brains, do you think I will be in this situation? If I only had listened, if I had any intelligence, nasma wa unakhilu, ma kunna fi ashabis sa'ir, do you think I will be with the people of the hellfire? And Allah is saying, fa'tarafu bi dhanbihim. They will accept their sins. They will own up. But on that day, there is no point. It's signed and sealed, dusted and powdered and dusted. Khalas. There is no tawbah on the day of judgment. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They will make a'taraf of their guna, of their sins. فَسُوْقَلْ لِيَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah, the Mufassirin translate this, so away with the dwellers of the blazing fire. My translation is go to hell. That's what Allah is saying. Go to hell. فَسُوْقَلْ لِيَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Go to hell. Please, wake up. My brothers and sisters, remember that selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance. Selective obedience is what Iblis did for which he was consigned to the fire. Selective obedience. He did not say to Allah, I will not obey you anymore. He said, only this one thing I will not obey. What about worshipping Allah? He is ready to worship Allah. Did he refuse to make sajda to Allah? No. He refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Did he have his logic for this? Yes. He had his logic. He had his reason. Did it save him? Is that not what we are doing today? Sajda is submission. Sajda is obedience. Allah gives a hukum. We say, no, this one I will not obey. Selective obedience is arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who play games with His laws by giving disobedience and sin different names and pretending that it is acceptable to indulge in it.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمْ مَنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
Allah says, if you are like this, do what you want. اعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah said, verily, those who turn away from our ayats, they are not hidden from us. Allah says, you are not hiding, you cannot hide. Make your excuses. It's not going to help you. He said, those who turn away from our ayats, from our signs and orders, they are not hidden from us. Is he the one who is cast into the fire better? Or is he the one who comes secure on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection? Who is better? And Allah says, ya maluma ashiyatum, do whatever you want. Do whatever you like. Not only be members of these clubs, join a few more. No problem. You think it hurts Allah? Verily, He is all seer of what you do. Verily, He sees everything you do. And then He said to those who look at the people who openly disobey Allah and wonder at the fact that they seem to get even more wealthy and more famous and more powerful, and the punishment of Allah does not seem to touch them. They were members of the race club, then they become stewards, now they are president of the race club. You're members of the Secunderabad club and the Nizam club and God knows which club, and now you stood for election, you got elected, you are now the president. So what are people saying? Say, mashallah, mashallah. What is Allah saying? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and so when they forgot the warning, they know they were doing wrong, they were warned, and they were warned, and they were warned, and they ignored, and they forgot. They forgot the warning with which they had been reminded. We opened for them the gates of every pleasant thing. Allah is not saying, then we caught them. No, Allah says, we gave them more. You want this? Okay, more. It's money which is making you do this, some more money. You will not leave the membership of the club, we'll make you president of the club. Doors of everything good which you think is good are opened upon them. Until in the midst of their enjoyment, in that which they were given, all of a sudden, we took them to punishment. And lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regret and sorrows. The ability, the time, the muhalat, the little gap even to make tawbah will be denied. You want to go and gamble? You want to sit and play bridge and cards and so on for money? And then you want to keep your musalla there and you want to pray Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha in the card room and then go and sit and join your team again? A day will come When you do that, you will be called. In the card room, in the bar, with the whiskey in your hand, on the dance floor, jiving. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be resurrected in the state in which you die. I wish for you, I make dua for you that Allah takes your soul in the state of sujood, in tahajjud, inshaAllah. Because then, inshallah, you will arise on the day of judgment in a state of sujood to Allah. I ask Allah to take you in a state where you are reciting Quran. When you will be resurrected, reciting Quran. Inshallah. But that choice, my dua, is worthless if you are not going to do those things. My dua has no meaning. You cannot die reciting Quran if you never recite Quran. I mean, please, give yourself a break. Somebody asked Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. People went to ask, they used to ask questions, may Allah bless them. They asked Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, they said, you say that Allah will punish wrongdoing and so on, but we see people doing wrong, and then in our experience, when we see them, they are only doing more and more of it, and they are getting more and more money, and more power, and more authority, and nobody can touch them, and nobody can punish them. The court is in their pocket, and the government is in their pocket, and the police is in their pocket, and they are free. How is it possible? You are saying Allah will punish, and here Allah is not punishing them. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah recited this ayat of Suratul Anam. And he said that when you see this, this is evidence and this is proof that the azab has already started on them, and that the door of tawbah has been shut for them, and the door of hidayat has been shut for them. Now wait until Allah grabs them, and that's it. Khalas, they're straight into Jahannam. So don't, if somebody is doing well, meaning if he is obedient to Allah and Allah increases that person in wealth and in power and authority, and that person uses that wealth, power and authority to do more and more good, inshallah al-musta'an, hadha min fadli rabbi. This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when somebody is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody is committing haram, when somebody is troubling people, when somebody is oppressing people, and doing all of that, and you see that they are getting more and more and more, this is a sign that the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already started on that person. That person is just now waiting for the hukum of Allah, for Malakul Maut, to grab him in a situation where he will not even be able to make tawbah. That door is already shut for that person. My brothers and sisters, history is witness to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all those who thought themselves to be untouchable. The sad thing is that we don't learn from history. The only thing we learn from history is that we learn nothing. This need not be the case if we are intelligent, but are we? For those who choose to respect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Allah said, verily those who fear their Rabb, Jalla Jalla, who fear His anger, unseen, we have not seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fear His punishment and we strive for His pleasure, theirs will be forgiveness and a great reward, ajrun kabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I have mentioned this ayat many times. It's one of my favorite ayat. I have made tafsir of this so many times. You've heard me before. Just remember this. For the one who wants to make tawbah, the door of Jannah is open now. Make tawbah right now. That's why I said, do not go to bed tonight without making tawbah and without making changes in your life. If you do that, if you don't do that, if you go to bed without doing that, then may Allah have mercy on you. My brothers and sisters, think about this. If someone invited you to be a member of a subversive anti-national organization, would you accept? If somebody says, please come and be join this and that and the other organization, who are subversive, who are anti-national, who are working against the nation, who want to harm the nation, who want to topple the order. If somebody just come, just be a member, will you join? The person is saying, no, you don't have to do anything, please. You do not have to do anything. You don't have to attend any meetings. We will not call you. Just your name on that list. We want your name. Your name looks nice. Abdul Rahman, nice name. Please. Will you join? Just having your name on that list. You know and I know in today's world, if somebody gets arrested for subversive anti-national terrorist activity, the first thing in your mind is,
Is my name on his phone, in his phone address book? Is my name on his phone list? Yes or no? And today, thanks to Google, everybody's name is everywhere. I've got names on my Google list. Allah is witness. I never heard the man's name in my life. I don't know who the hell he is, but he's on my Google address list. Allah knows best. First thing in your mind, you did not do anything, nothing happened, but you say, oh my God, supposing my name or my number is in that fellow's phone, I am in trouble. Is this not in your mind? Tell me, does this not happen? You are a sensible person. You will not even go near such a thing. My question is, if you are really sensible, how can you be a member of an institution established for the perpetration and facilitation of activities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited and which make Allah angry? Even if you don't do those things yourself, your membership means that your name is with them in that list. Is that acceptable to you? Let me assure you, the name of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Ramalinga Raju will not be on the same list. So is your name with Ramalinga Raju's name? Or is it with the name of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Where do you want it to be? I know enough names of the members of all of these clubs to make a list before you. Now, I'm not going to do that. You can make your own list. Ask yourself, where is my name? It doesn't matter that you were not doing this or that. Your name is on that list of members. And as I told you before, those of you who want to make these excuses, these very creative excuses, you know, people say, you cannot fool yourself. I submit to you that the only person in the world you can fool is yourself. You can't fool anybody else. The only person you actually can fool is yourself. Everyone else knows what the truth is. And those who make these excuses, I'm going there only for the gym. You know the answer to that. I'm going there only for the pool. You know the answer to that. I'm going there only to sit under the banyan tree on the lawn. You know the answer to that. Plenty of banyan trees elsewhere. Please. My brothers and sisters, let us remember that the day of judgment is very near. Our day, our personal day of judgment is the day when we meet Malakul Maut, and that is why it is called Al-Qiyamatu Sughra, the small Qiyamah. It is small only in comparison with the final one. I remind myself and you that being a Muslim doesn't merely mean obeying certain rules or performing certain rituals. But above and before all, it means becoming submissive and subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This subservience to Allah makes us free from subservience to any other creature. And this is the thing about which Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi said, Ye ek sajda jise tu giran samajhta hai. Hazar sajdon se deta hai aadmi ko najat. He said, this one sajda which you find difficult saves you from 1,000 sujood, saves the man from 1,000 other sujood. If you become obedient to Allah, Allah will make the world obedient to you. Allah will put your izzah in the hearts of people. He will put your dignity in the hearts of people. He will put your haybat in the hearts of people. He will put love for you in the hearts of people. And instead of that, if you choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite of all this will happen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all completely and totally submissive and subservient to Him and to follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us into Islam and to make us completely enter into Islam and to completely illuminate our lives with the noor of this beautiful deen and the noor of the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and accept all your ibadat and to save you from every single difficulty that you know and do not know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure anyone who is ill from that illness. Give them shifa kamila wa ajila. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free from the shackles of poverty, the shackles of interest-based earnings, the shackles of debt, and any other kinds of shackles. I ask Allah to free them, free all of you from all such shackles. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solve every problem that you have and every problem that you might, that they may be written in your qadr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change that and convert that into ease for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you 100% totally in obedience to Him, and to take you in a state of obedience to Him, and to resurrect you in a state of obedience to Him, and to honor you thereby in this dunya and when you meet Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.